Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. We'll be here for the next 25 minutes. And I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard, and now Stephen Jordahl. It is Stephen, right?
It is, actually. Stephen D. Daniel.
What's B stand for?
D is in Daniel.
Oh, Stephen Daniel.
Yeah, it's me.
Stephen Daniel Jordahl.
Yeah.
SDJ, otherwise known as...
Something I've never been called, but I'm not opposed.
By his friends. Well, you got it. Everybody's going by their three. ALC.
Right?
ACB. Now we got...
MOUSE.
Hey, guys, breaking news. I got to tell you. President Trump has now paid for a recount of the votes in Dixville Notch, North New Hampshire. It was 5-0 at midnight on election night. He's not sure. Somehow they went into a closet and found 41,000 ballots for Joe Biden in Dixville Notch. So there's something fishy going on up there. I'm not sure it'll turn the election, but he is asking for a recount.
On a serious note, the president's attorneys are supposed to be having a press conference momentarily.
Mm-hmm. Chris Woodward is monitoring that. And serious, actually, breaking news. The president's campaign said this morning that they are dropping their challenge in Michigan, in Detroit. Yeah. They're withdrawing the lawsuit in Michigan, saying that they achieved their case. So this is surrounding the two.
What lawsuit in Michigan? What, dropping what now?
The Trump campaign. This is on the front page of Fox News if you want to follow along, anybody at home. The re-election campaign said Thursday that it is dropping a lawsuit challenging voting results in Michigan, which show Democrat Joe Biden narrowly carrying the battleground state. That will stand. They were upset with what was going on in the county, in Wayne County, Detroit. You remember those two certification officials that wouldn't certify?
Yeah, we talked about that last hour.
Right, and then they got bullied and bullied and bullied, and they changed their minds, and then they said, we want to take it back? Mm-hmm. Well, Michigan isn't going to let them take it back. So the certification will stand, and Giuliani says that they have, as a direct result of achieving the relief we sought to stop the election in Wayne County from being prematurely certified before residents can be assured that every legal vote has been counted and every illegal vote has not been counted. So they think, at least they're saying, that they have achieved that and that they are dropping the lawsuit in Michigan. I don't know if that's what the Trump campaign... I don't think that's what the Trump campaign...
I hope that isn't their announcement today.
No, because he said in his tweet that his announcement was regarding a viable path to the white...
Okay,
to winning the election.
That. That's what we want to hear.
I agree.
So we'll see. It better be good.
Okay? I hope so. In my opinion...
I'm not doubting. Don't misunderstand me. I don't know. I'm reserving my opinion until after I hear what the president's lawyers have to say. But, Ray, Sidney Powell has raised the expectation level through the roof.
Right.
So she better deliver the goods.
Time to unleash the Kraken,
the Kraken. I'm not criticizing her. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing her. I'm just saying when you
at some point, you either got the goods or you don't, right?
Yes, so. When you're the attorney version of Muhammad Ali, okay, basically taunting your opponent and saying, I'm fixing to knock your head off, watch this, and you can't stop me. That's basically what Sidney Powell said the other day, the attorney from North Carolina, about her ability to prove that there was massive fraud in the election to the point of overturning states, she said, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see whether that can be proven or not, or if she's the one talking today. I'd be very curious to know. We'll see. That should happen in the next few minutes. And Chris Woodward is monitoring that for us so we can bring that to you as quickly as possible. Steve, go ahead.
Well, all other eyes, election-wise, are on Atlanta and Georgia, where the senator's race, the runoff for U.S. senator, is slated, it will decide who controls the upper chamber. And if President Biden were to get the White House, and if the Republicans were to lose in Georgia, that sets up a whole ball of wax that we need to be fearful of, because Democrats would control the White House and the House and the Senate, although all by narrow margins. We're continuing to find out more and more stuff about Reverend Raphael Warnock, who is the pastor there of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s old church.
He's the Democrat nominee running against
Kelly Loeffler.
Yes, the Republican incumbent.
Yeah, and over this happened. I'm going to play you some sound. The last piece of which happened a while back, and I remember noting it at the time, but it didn't connect it with the election. You're going to hear several things that he said, and then at the end, you're going to hear something he said at the memorial service for Congressman John Lewis. You might remember several months ago he passed away and had his memorial service at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Listen to this. This is cut 7.
It's not enough to decriminalize marijuana. Somebody's got to open up the jails and let our children go. Faith-filled praise ought to erupt every now and then into fierce protest.
America, nobody can serve God and the military. America, choose ye this day whom you will serve.
We celebrate Reverend Wright in the same way that we celebrate the truth-telling tradition of the black church.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I give to you the hero of the struggle of people throughout the world, Comandante Fidel Castro.
We celebrate John Lewis. He was wounded for America's transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Stop that. That guy's a blasphemer.
Mm. Yeah, huh? That's what he's doing.
He's a pastor, so-called. He's a blasphemer right there. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's comparing John Lewis to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And secondly, he said he completely twisted the words of Scripture to say you can't serve God and serve the military. Mm-hmm. Jesus was talking about mammon.
Money.
Money.
Yes.
Where does he get inserting the word military in there, Ray? What in the world's going on in that guy's head?
Well, the only way you get there is by disregarding what Jesus actually said and putting in the words for your own left-wing political agenda. It's blasphemy in the highest degree, especially the part about the Fidel Castro, that's just foolish. But to somehow compare John Lewis, what he did on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, that was a day of enormous personal courage. Take nothing away from that. But to take the words of Isaiah 53, which apply to one person in history only, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to say, metaphorically, by his wounds, talking about John Lewis, we are healed, it's not the same thing. It is blasphemy.
Yeah. Wow. And this is the guy running for Senate in Georgia on the Democrat side, the fellow you just heard.
Yes.
Right there.
And on top of all of that, he is unapologetically pro-abortion. He celebrates abortion. Planned Parenthood, I believe, has endorsed him.
They have.
In Georgia. I mean.
He's a Christian pastor?
Well, he has the title Reverend.
Reverend?
I'm going to keep
okay,
it right
he says he's a Christian reverend.
He is the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist
Church.
He is
a pastor. That's a fact. My point is he is for abortion.
Yes.
And he understands that the vast majority, well, I don't know about the vast majority, but the majority of abortions done in America are African-American women.
Yes.
I mean, are children, African-American children that are murdered in the womb.
That's correct.
By abortion. Okay. Well, anyway, so when is this runoff, Steve? It's January, right?
It is. I'll get you the exact date.
January 5.
5, yeah.
And it's two simultaneous
Elections. Yeah, they had a kind of a jungle primary where both seats, because of some retirements, were up for grabs. It's just unusual in a single state. And one candidate needed to get, any candidate needed to get 50% to actually win the election and avoid a runoff. None did. So both are in runoff elections. And I mean money is pouring in left and right from both
Money's pouring
sides.
In left and left.
And, well, yeah, but there are some conservatives
there are some right. I know, there are.
That are trying to push back.
Here's the thing. Up until this year, Georgia has always been a reliably red state. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like most Deep South states, it's red. It's mm-hmm. red. But now, Georgia is changing. This is, I'm not talking about the legitimacy or illegitimacy of the presidential vote, okay? I'm to separate my comments from that. I'm talking about the demographics in Georgia are changing as they are in North Carolina mm-hmm. because of Atlanta and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And you got liberals moving in to Atlanta mm-hmm. from all over the country, in some cases the world. These are not native Southerners, native Georgians. And same way in Northern Virginia. You got all these folks moving in mm-hmm. that are liberal. And they live in suburbs of Washington, D.C., which is a completely different world than native Virginians
yep.
who downstate. Okay, mm-hmm. so I'm not saying these people don't have a right to vote by any means. I'm just telling you that they're bringing their liberal politics with them when they move in. And I talked to a friend of mine who lives in North Carolina. He said the same thing's happening in Charlotte.
Charlotte and Raleigh.
Charlotte and Raleigh.
Raleigh's become a problem.
So you got these non-native Georgians and North Carolinians and Virginians, and they're moving into those states, and they're bringing their liberal politics with them. And that's why Virginia used to be reliably conservative, red. But that's the reason those things are becoming closer to being purple, if you will, is because of the changing demographics with respect to their largest cities.
With regards to the Senate races in Georgia that Steve has been talking about, the other story that's developing is Californians are saying, we're going to move. And we're going to get over there into Georgia in time for this special election January 5th so yeah. we can affect that election.
Yeah, I heard about that. I just wonder how many people are really going to do that. But maybe they are, but I've heard about that.
There's a whole lot of people moving out of California, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. By the way,
if they're going to move out of California and vote liberal, they need to stay in California.
Yeah. Well, some of what was the line, don't pack your politics.
Mm. Right.
So, I talked to Dr. Alveda King yesterday about the Warnock race and Georgia race. I don't have this piece of sound for us this morning, but she did say that she's not a believer in this influx of liberals in Georgia turning Georgia purple. Georgia is purple, but she says it is as much a stolen state right now as a la polls, a la the stolen election, as it is anything, that Georgians are still red, ruby red. That's what she says. I'm passing no judgment on that, but she denies the influx theory. I do want to have you hear what she says about the King legacy at Ebenezer Baptist Church and a couple thoughts about this upcoming election. Listen to Cut 8.
Ebenezer was never Martin Luther King's church. It was the people's church. It was the Lord's church. But in the legacy of the King family, none of the pastors and leaders who pastored that church were pro-abortion. Not one. You can't even think right now that whoever tricked and stole all the votes from President Trump in Georgia won't be trying to steal them again. So they're trying with Dominion software, but, you know, we have dominion. We have the keys to the kingdom. We who call on the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord. I know we're not going to have a fair election. There's going to be a lot of shenanigans, but I believe we can have a miracle election.
Hmm. That was Dr. Alveda King.
Yeah.
Whose uncle was the pastor at Ebenezer.
And whose dad, by the way, was also the pastor there.
Hey, listen, this is a big deal. Big deal of these two Senate races in Georgia because it will decide who will control the Senate. Will the Republicans have the numbers to block crazy legislation and whacked out judges or not? Mm. That's basically what it, that's my opinion.
We're at 50-48 right now.
Right.
With the Senate.
Republicans lead 50-48.
Yes.
If they win both Senate seats, it's 52-48, and you can that all but shuts down anything crazy that a Biden presidency would want to do legislatively, yes. including putting a far left judge on the Supreme Court.
That's right.
So it's a big deal.
If the Democrats win, it becomes 50-50, and guess who then?
Schumer, right?
Then who controls the vote?
Who would be Senate Majority Leader? Would there even be one?
If they're 50-50, Kamala Harris would cast the deciding vote.
Right, right. Assuming that the Democrats were able to get Joe Manchin to go with them, the Democrat from West Virginia, who he's opposed to a lot of the left-wing
packing the court, et cetera, agenda. Et cetera.
He would become the Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski of the Democrat Party.
Yeah, yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
We're not the only ones concerned about what might happen if Democrats control the government. I want you to hear what Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana said yesterday on Fox. Nothing to worry about if the Democrats control everything. Cut 11.
If we lose Georgia, we lose the Senate majority. If we lose the Senate majority, Senator Schumer, Senator Bernie Sanders, Speaker Pelosi, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez are in charge. And if they get control, you have nothing to worry about unless you are a taxpayer, a business owner, a parent, a gun owner, a cop, a person of faith, or an unborn baby. Now, this group doesn't do nuance. They want you to send all your money and send your freedom to Washington.
Nobody quite says it like John Kennedy.
He's my new favorite senator.
I know, I do.
He's good for a quote a day.
I tell you what.
He's got to do his own calendar.
That's right.
With a quote a day. He's excellent. I enjoy hearing him. He's frequently on, what's he on, Ray? Is he on Tucker's program or Tucker Carlson, I think?
He's been on there. That voice, listening to him. And he can, just talking along there, send a little turn of phrase. He's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve?
I like to use the phrase, this idea doesn't have a snowball's chance in Phoenix because, well, it's a little bit more family-friendly. Well, someone needs to check the weather in Phoenix today because there's an op-ed in the New York Times where Nicholas Kristof, one of President Trump's most fiercest critics, most viral Trump derangement syndrome guy, and it's the New York Times, writes this. When Trump was right and many Democrats wrong, some things are true, even though President Trump says them. Trump has been demanding for months that schools reopen, and on that he seems to have been largely right. Schools, especially elementary schools, do not appear to have been major sources of coronavirus transmission. It must have hurt.
To have the New York Times,
Nicholas Kristof,
one of their top columnists, to say that Trump was right on schools?
Yes. I wonder if he'll be canceled.
He might cancel himself.
Right?
Yeah, you agreed with Trump on anything. You can't do that. Well, what we know now is that children, by and large, are unaffected by the COVID.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's no reason to close schools except that you would say, well, they're going to infect the teachers who are not young, and that's a consideration that principals and administrators have to make when they're determining how long to keep the schools open, you know what I'm saying, in light of increasing COVID numbers among the students.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a call each school has to make, I guess. Steve, go ahead.
Well, you know, you were listening earlier to the Andrew Cuomo argument with the reporters. The genius of COVID, the one who solved New York and the world's problems, we just haven't recognized it yet. The man who is coming out with the volume one of his own biography of how I saved the world from COVID, Governor Andrew Cuomo, says, by the way, if you do get COVID, it's your own fault. Cut two.
If you socially distanced and you wore a mask and you were smart, none of this would be a problem. It's all self-imposed. It's all self-imposed. If you didn't eat the cheesecake, you wouldn't have a weight problem.
And he's
Ben, your reaction.
And he's fat shaming.
Hey, yeah. I like cheesecake.
Well, you got nobody to blame but yourself for liking cheesecake.
This is true. He does have that point. I concede that point. Yes.
If you could put if you could put a few strawberries on the top with some whipped cream, I think that's my favorite cheesecake right there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this was the game plan, and Cuomo, this was his version of the Democrat game plan. I remember during the debate between Biden and President Trump, Biden repeated two or three times, you ought to be concerned about that person sitting beside you at the breakfast table. You ought to be wearing the mask and the social distancing because that person may be dead tomorrow morning. And it'll be your fault because you don't care enough. And the president doesn't care enough to do a big shutdown across the country. This is was their game plan during the election is to scare people into not voting for President Trump. Because President Trump was making the country a dangerous place because he wasn't taking the virus seriously.
Yeah.
Now, here's what happened. The president, in order to keep the curve down back there in the spring, he went along with the shutdown. But then we found out and learned the real science behind the virus. And then the president said, we cannot do this shutdown thing anymore. But the Democrats tried to instill fear into the American public that only Joe Biden could save the country. And that was their modus operandi during the election campaign. And for some people, that fear tactic worked, unfortunately.
Ray?
Well, this is just where we are as a country now. People have been intimidated into not voting, or they have been intimidated into not protesting and not speaking out. And so the left is winning. They're winning all over the place. I don't see any solution except for Christians and conservatives generally to somehow regain our courage and our voice.
Yeah.
You might have had the solution with you at the end of the 10 o'clock hour, by the way. The worship that's going on, the church rising up. There has to be a spiritual answer. And I know that it's not a political movement, what he was talking about, and it will never become one, I don't believe. But the church, being the church, just being faithful to God and his word, is bound to correct many, many of the social problems that we're seeing in this country, I think.
Well, it's just a wonderful thing, what he was talking about, getting... we Christians are notoriously divided. We've talked about that before. So it's a wonderful thing when believers in Jesus get together and publicly and honestly raise their voices and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can do and we should do. It's one thing that does make America a better place when it happens.
No question.
All right, Steve, you got a minute or two left. Any good news out there for us?
Good news. Yes, there is some good news. The first ever Christian airline is set to launch next year, a nonprofit ministry called Judah One, or at least that's going to be the name of the airline, Judah One. It's currently based out of Shreveport Regional Airport in Louisiana, and it will be the source of travel for missionaries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. They are going from private to public, Judah One. And it will be the first ever Christian airline set to launch.
Great idea.
Isn't it?
Wish them well.
So they're going to, you're saying they're going to fly missionaries around the world?
Yes, my understanding. And I think this
isn't a general airline board.
No, I think it's going to be a charter airline. And I think maybe they'll make money flying executives around the country and then use the profits to send the missionaries where they want.
And the name of the airline is what?
Judah One.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Judah Two?
There may be. I don't know. But they've already partnered with Samaritan's Purse.
We just hope there's not a COVID-20.
Right.
Right.
We don't need that.
No.
Huh?
No.
And we need this year to hurry up and get over.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, everybody, with Trivia Friday. Have a great day.